Hey, good morning, guys. I do want to say something Lisa didn't fully, I think, yeah, it was a little surprise for her, but I just, the flags, the importance of those, they're a little weird at first, for sure, but there's something, it's not just a worship aspect, there's also a huge aspect of intercession that happens, and guys, being up on stage and leading worship when Lisa or Clint or some of these other intercessors have that, they really stand in the gap for the worship team. And I know that they don't say that, but that's one of the bigger things that happens up here. It's not just a weird thing that we do as Restoration. It really has a lot of meaning behind it. So if that's something as well, not just the worship aspect, but if you guys have that desire for intercession, that's a really, really great place to start. I just wanted to clarify that. So Justin's been trying to get me to speak for a little while, and it's never worked, just being out of town and different things like that. Justin has a style of preaching. I love it. I wouldn't even call it preaching. He's a teacher. And so he texted me at the beginning of the week, and he's like, hey, you need to send your notes over so people can follow along. And I am not a note guy at all. I'm like, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. And so deadline was Wednesday, and after the deadline, I sat down on my computer reviewing the little, two paragraphs that I had, and I just started typing, and I ended up with, like, 4 pages of notes. So we'll post them online, but the Lord is funny in that way. So today I'm going to talk about biblical rest, and rest, when we think about rest, I know for me, a lot of times I think about, chilling at home on the couch in my jammies or sitting on the beach in Mexico or intentionally avoiding the project that I put off all summer in the name of I had a really hard week. And I think we've all been there for sure. And I just reading through scripture, it's so much more. Rest is so much more, and the Lord places so much importance on rest. Just reading Genesis 1, okay, we all know the story of creation. He created for 6 days. After he created man, he rested. That was the first act or non-act that he did after creation, which says a lot that he places the importance of resting on our lives, that he molded it into the first thing that he did after creation and set a whole day aside for it. The next thing that he did that I feel is very important, the Ten Commandments. When Moses went up to the Mount Sinai and there's this encounter going on, the Lord thought it was so important that his people encounter this practical rest, okay, in the Old Covenant, that he placed it 4 on the list. And not only that, if you read through Exodus 20, it's actually the longest explanation out of any of the Ten Commandments. So we kind of push it off aside. We don't put in the same importance of, don't murder and don't commit adultery, but it's the longest explanation. He really wanted to hit home with that, with the practical aspect of rest. The second most, that he explained the most in the Ten Commandments is, have no other gods before me. And I don't think that's a coincidence that the rest is here, the no God before me is here, because I think for me personally, anytime I'm struggling with just anxiety or whatever I'm going through, I can look back and see that I've been giving my time to other things. And other gods can be anything from work, movies, your phone, family, even church itself could be another god above God. Even though we're here to set aside time for him, this can become something that hinders us from encountering the Lord. And so there's good things, there's bad things that can get in the way. But the Lord doesn't just want a portion of your week. He doesn't just want this day that we're here together or life group. He wants it all. He wants the whole thing. And so just correlating the Ten Commandments with this idea of the Lord wanting all of your time. In Matthew 5, it talks about, you've heard it said that don't murder, don't commit adultery, but I'm going to tell you to take it a step further. Don't just not commit murder. Don't even have hate in your heart. Don't commit adultery. Take it beyond that. Don't even look at a woman and lust. And I think we can literally take every single one of those Ten Commandments and in the same way in the New Covenant encounter that in that deeper way. I tell you, not only set aside one day a week as a Sabbath to me, give me all of your time. Be in a constant state of Sabbath with me. Be in a constant state of rest with me. And I think out of that place of rest, that's where we encounter the Lord. There's a partnership with the Lord in that. And out of that place, it produces a lot of growth. So there are many times throughout Scripture where rest, out of that place of rest, whether it's a practical rest or a spiritual rest, it produced something greater than ourselves. And Jesus did this awesome. He's a great example. But even in the Old Testament, there was this concept of it. So if you guys would, turn to Psalms 23 with me. We all know it, but I just want to read through it again and really just get into even what David, the man that God called a man after his own heart. So at this time, when he wrote Psalm 23, David was actually the king of Judah. And so he was already a busy man. and so let's just read through it. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And so the Lord, as David's shepherd, he used this language, which is interesting, is that it's not that David chose to do this, that the Lord as his shepherd kind of made David do this, okay? He made him lie down in green pastures, and he led him beside the still waters. And he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And so when I was reading this just in study, there was a place of rest that the shepherd, that the Lord brought David in. Let's just bring it back home, that he brings us through. If we have something coming up, if there's something big in our life, the Lord will lead us into this rest. And I think out of this place of rest, that's where David had the confidence that he was going to be able to walk through this valley of the shadow of death and not fear anything because the Lord was with him. Out of that place of rest, there was a co-laboring that happened with David and the Lord in the psalm. And out of that place, he was able to overcome something that was greater than himself. And I think we think there's a lot of things in our life that are greater than ourselves, but the Lord is with us to walk through. Jumping forward to the New Testament, in Luke 8, this is a story, again, we all know, of when Jesus was sleeping on the boat. And if you guys want to turn there, that's awesome. And so the disciples, Jesus, everyone got on the boat. They're going across, and a storm starts to rage. The disciples are freaking out, and Jesus is sleeping. He's actually practically resting. And so they wake him up, and he stands up and calms the storm. The first thing he says to them is, "Where is your faith?" And from that place of rest, of actually waking up, having that faith and calming the storm, I think there's something to it that this was actually in this story. So a cool story. I was, I keep every note. I don't like cards. If it's my birthday and you guys write me a card, I'm going to thank you and I'm going to throw it in the trash. I'm just going to tell you that right off. But if you just rip out a random piece of paper and write a note or like a prophetic word, I will have that till the day I die. I have like every single note that has ever been written to me, I save. And so I keep a lot of them. Just when I'm going through something, I try to go back through them, and I'll stick them in my Bible just to remind myself. And I was digging through a box at the beginning of the summer of something that was at my mom's house and some of my dad's old things, and this note fell out, and it's a half of a page from the Lazbuddy Fire Department of Lazbuddy, Texas, on what to do during hunting season, okay? Random piece of paper. But my dad had actually scribbled down some notes on rest. And so I just kept it in my Bible, and it fell out when I was doing this study. And this was actually... this was from a time when he was going through his sickness, which was so amazing because the first line up here, it says, rest has a direct relationship to faith. And this was at a time where he had not a lot going for him in that way, that he was sick, he had no hope, but this was his hope. And so... I was living at home when this was all going on, and just, you know, helping the family out practically. And so I'd come home from work sometimes at lunch, and, you know, no one would be home. I knew Dad would be home because he couldn't leave, and I couldn't find him. And most of the time when he wasn't sitting in his chair, I could almost always find him in his closet. And it was a big closet. He would be sprawled out on the floor, and he had this prayer shawl over him that he would just place over his head, and he would be there for hours, resting in the Lord and encountering him in this place of faith. And, and so that speaks a lot to me, that my dad, at the end of his life, there was a couple of different items that he really, really pressed on, and the Lord pressed on his heart. This was probably one of the biggest, is that rest produces something greater. It produces a level of confidence that we cannot have on our own. And when I think back to times like that, where there is no hope, but that rest actually produced faith and hope and confidence, and someone that had no hope, that gives me a lot of hope. There's no striving in that place anymore. And I never saw my dad strive for faith, but out of a place of rest, he had it. And he had a bunch of scriptures written down as well. And there's a lot of stories throughout the Word about rest producing faith. And that faith and that rest actually comes from the Lord. Faith is a gift from the Lord. And I really believe in like manner that rest is a gift that comes from the Lord, but we have to exercise it just like faith, just like healing, just like prophecy. It's not we got it, we're good. It's not we rest one day a week. It's literally a gift from the Lord that we have to steward well. And so Psalms 95 and Hebrews 4, it kind of correlates back to that verse that the Lord actually gives rest, and he can take away rest as well, which is mind-boggling. And if we live in disobedience, because that's where he correlates of do I give it or do I not, is based on obedience. And if we live in that disobedience where we're not stewarding that gift well, the Lord can make us not enter his rest. And if we live in obedience, he will. It's a promise. He will make us enter into his rest. So true rest. Let's turn to Matthew 11, which is what this whole thing is based on. So Matthew 11, starting in verse 25. At this time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me and by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so I got this revelation when I was reading this a few months ago that Jesus' yoke is actually gentleness and being lowly in heart. And that changes everything, putting that yoke on. Because my yoke, and I don't know about you guys, but my yoke that I place on myself, there's no one else that places on it but me. My yoke is pride. My yoke is comparison. It's striving. It's fear. It's hate. It's lust. It's offense. And I carry that by choice throughout my week when I'm busy in my life. And those are the things that I place on myself. And when I have a bad day, I come home and Breezy asks, hey, baby, how was your day? And I'm like, man, it was rough. It was a rough day. I can look back and I can pinpoint one of these things or all of them or a few of them that I gave into during my day. I gave into comparison. I gave into offense. I gave into lust. Whatever it is, I come home and I am exhausted. But then my days where I choose rest, where I choose his yoke. And this yoke, it's not just, you know, because the yoke is on the oxen, you put it on, and it's a plow type thing that it's a wooden that goes over your shoulders. And so I think a lot of times we think that it's just Jesus takes the yoke and then gives it back to us, and then he goes this way and we go this way. No. It's actually we are yoked with him. This yoke is with him, the being gentle and lowly in heart. We can give our yoke to him. He can handle all of it. But now we're yoked with him of being gentle and lowly in heart. That's humility. And when I choose to be yoked with Jesus in my day, no matter how busy it is, no matter how crazy it is, and I partner with him in that rest because he is true rest, and that co-laboring with him is restful. It's not a stressful thing. It doesn't suck the life out of you. That's when I can come home from my day and I feel refreshed. We can still have hard days and rest. We can still have and be come home and be tired and still have true rest in our souls. And that's what I desire, to take Jesus' yoke, to be humble, to be gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where lives are transformed, when we choose that, when we partner with the Lord in obedience. And I think a tool, just a practical tool to capture us throughout my day, because the question is, and Rory, how do we do this? How is this happening? And I think part of it is just a picturing it in your mind, that yoke, whatever you're placing on yourself, and literally taking it and placing it on Jesus. I think there's an aspect to that. But I think another tool to capture this is prayer. Every time I think about just a lifestyle of prayer and even of rest, I think of Daniel. And we talked about Daniel and his lifestyle a few weeks ago. Justin brought a great message on the tail end of the Babylon and how we were talking about that. He really walked through the practicals of Daniel's life. And the things that he put himself into, his lifestyle. He had a lifestyle of fasting. He had a lifestyle of praying. He had a lifestyle of understanding and really battling with that with the Lord. And he had a lifestyle of putting himself in godly community. And I think all of those things tie into what we're talking about today with co-laboring with Jesus. But I think the one thing that he encountered in rest was praying. Because again, we talked about a few weeks ago, but Daniel was running an empire. I mean, he was the second in command. I don't think that his days were very lighthearted. He had to encounter dark magic type things. I mean, he was in an evil, evil, evil empire, but he was running it. And so to think that, oh, well, Daniel, that was a long time ago. He probably had more time. He had no time. He made time in his life. And I really believe that he lived a lifestyle of rest and encounter with the Lord because he co-labored with the Lord. And this was Old Testament, guys. We have it so much easier now because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the blood of Jesus. We have no excuses. Daniel was in a time where there was no Jesus. He had to pray and be clean in his heart and enter into that that relationship with the Lord in a very, very different way. And so if we can embrace this lifestyle of prayer, and what I mean by prayer, I'm not talking about intercession. I'm not talking about, dear Lord, bless my mom today. I'm talking about just a conversation in your soul, in your spirit with Jesus. A constant conversation of just, how's it going? Listening to him speak to you and partnering with him when things come up. When there's an opportunity to compare yourself to somebody else in the workplace, in your personal life, instead of choosing comparison, choose to co-labor with the Lord, with Jesus, to take on the humility, to take on the gentleness in the lowly in heart. Excuse me. And that's the choice that we make in the place of prayer. And that's how we can move through our day and feel rest. Now, I don't want to take away from the sitting on the couch with your jammies. There is a place for that, guys, and I love that. You know, just on Saturday morning, taking Declan, Breezy, and we just sit on the couch, bathe in the sun. That's awesome, and there's such a huge place for that. But we need to transform the rest of our week, not just our Saturdays, not just our Sundays. We need to transform when we're in it, when we're around people. At home, we have no people around us that we can share the love of God with. But when we're out there and we're living this lifestyle, I mean, just think about it. Being at work and there's no complaining going on. Not from me, not from you, because we're in a place of rest. There is no complaining anymore. There is no comparison. We're sharing the love of God because we're in a place that I don't need this, you know, this companionship, because there's something about it, even with complaining, of someone complains about that, like, yeah, I complain about that too. I don't like that. And all of a sudden, we have this connection that is false. It's based out of a place that is not right. But if we can get in that place where we can encourage those next to us, instead of comparing, instead of complaining, be humble. Be lowly in heart, exalting each other. We read that in Philippians this morning in our 9:30 prayer set of exalting others higher than yourself. That's part of this yoke that Jesus has. He did this excellent, is exalting others greater than himself, and he's God. I mean, that's crazy. And that biblical rest, again, is formed out of a relationship with Jesus. It's formed out of being yoked with him. And things that rest produces, again, we talked about it, is faith. When we enter into his true rest, the automatic reply, I think, from us is humility. There is no other choice when we're yoked in rest. And again, my dad was convinced that true biblical rest produced that. And so just thinking about what we pray for, what we intercede for, Lord, we want more faith. We want a better life. We want this. We want that. But what if the place that we gained a deeper gift of faith was out of the place of rest? Instead of striving, I need to pray more at church. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do this. Obviously, there's a place for that. But what if it's, let me take it on? Coming from Jesus, let me take on that burden. And you rest, and let me take you in along with me on a journey of faith, on a journey of humility, on a journey of that. And I think this morning, the Lord wants to break us free from a lot of things that we're into because we don't rest. A couple of things, restlessness, insomnia, living your life and just being kind of sick all the time, hurting, those things, those practical things in our life that we're like, God, why is this happening? Waking up frustrated at night, why am I not sleeping? How is your rest? Hey guys, I want to encounter Jesus. I want to see him move in a powerful way in this church. I want to see him move in a powerful way in my life, in this city. And what if the key to all of that is having a good rest life? Being yoked to Jesus in humility. Not partnering with the things that, whatever your yoke is, instead of partnering with those, partnering with Jesus' yoke and giving that over to him. I'm done striving. In John 17, Jesus, he prays for his disciples, and then he has this prayer for all believers. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, you in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And this is where it gets good. He says, Father, I desire they also whom you gave to me, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And so another way of putting that Father, I desire that all believers, that they may be yoked to me. That's Jesus' prayer, that they may be with me, alongside of me. There's this Corey Russell CD that he did back in, I think it was 2005. And he has this prayer in it. And I used to work for TNT Enterprises and with BJ, and we used to be in these holes, just digging sprinkler lines or whatever, and just down there all day. And I would literally play that on repeat for 8 hours. And guys, in high school, just being a high school kid, being in a hole, digging up broken pipes, and being weeping, because I wasn't yoked to Jesus in this way. And my heart's desire was, Lord, I want to be yoked to you. And his desire and intercession to the Lord, as I want Rory with me, I want to be yoked to him. I want him to live his life rightly and think rightly about himself through my eyes. I want him to be lost in my heart. I want him to be lost in my emotions. And guys, that should be your prayer this morning. Lord, I want to be lost in your heart. I want to be lost in your emotions. Justin and I have a thing in common where we don't cry often unless we preach and we're in front of a bunch of people. Ugh. But it's good. It's good. So, rest is a state of mind. Being yoked with Jesus. Not just taking on his yoke, but partnering with him. Co-laboring. It's a consistent prayer life. And that creates an incubator in the spirit where we can encounter a deeper level of faith.
We can prophesy with more confidence. We can pray for healing with more confidence because we have that in our souls, our spirits. So what I want, it's a little early, but I just want to spend the rest of the time, however long it takes, and just to encounter the Lord up here in front. And so, Mark, if you just want to come up, worship team, and we'll just... Actually, Mark, hold off. Let's play a CD this morning. Yeah, because I just want everybody to really encounter this. So again, if you guys are dealing with something in your life personally, whether that's insomnia, it's restlessness, it's stress for your job, I mean, you name it. I want you guys to really encounter the Lord this morning. The second thing, whether it's in your seat or in the back, up front, I want you guys to ask the Lord, what is my yoke that I place on myself? And it could be a list like mine. It could be longer. It could be one thing. But I want you guys to really encounter that. You can write it down. And maybe if you're a practical person, writing it down is really great. And just rip that bad boy up. If you're kind of pictured in your mind, picture a physical yoke and write all those things on there and place it onto Jesus. Because we don't want to carry that, guys, in our lives anymore. We want to encounter Jesus. And so Ryan's going to start a CD, and yeah, we're just going to take some time, guys, and we're done. If you guys need to head out, go for it. But just really encourage you guys to encounter the Lord the next little bit of time and let him touch your heart in this way. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you that your desire is to be with us where we are. That we don't have to step up to be this righteous person, to be holy, and that you take us with all of our sin, all of our crap. That you want to be yoked with us. Doesn't make any sense. But you long to be with us, Lord. You long to take these burdens that we put on ourselves. So Lord, would you just reveal those things to us this morning? And take them on yourself. So guys, the front's open for you, and I just encourage you guys to, this message is touching you this morning, just come on up and let that be an act that you want to partner with the Lord in this. And if it's just in your seat, then that's fine as well.